Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he has indeed. Oh, I think those ones are dead. They need some resurrection. We're here to celebrate this morning. I hope you came to celebrate. And you know, as we just reviewed what happened that weekend, we're standing here amazed. You know, we kind of know the end of the story. It says, you know, when Peter and John ran to the tomb, they saw things, but they didn't understand clearly. We have a much clearer picture than they did at that moment. Can you imagine what it'd be like to see somebody that was, you know, was dead? You were at the funeral, you saw the coffin go down, you were at the whole thing, you saw the dead body and knew that there was no life in it, to only see him 3 days later, raised up, full of life, full of light. I can't even imagine. But we get the opportunity to do that because Jesus said the same things I do, you'll do. You'll raise people from the dead. How many are waiting for the day you can do that? Some of us are like, ooh. What would, you know, might be freaked out. But the truth is, what we have in Jesus is so incredible because of his wonderful love for us. And I don't think, I'll speak for myself. There are some days that I just don't recognize how favored I am. Most days, I'd probably say. But we are. We are now living in the divine favor of God as believers. Resurrection Day, maybe. Let's see here. There we go. Resurrection Day. I did a little research on what does Easter mean? What does the word Easter mean? And where did we get the word Easter? And it actually came from sort of a worship of another goddess or something like that. What?
Ishtar.
And then it got kind of come into the Christianity. So Easter now means Resurrection Day, but I'd rather say what it really means is Resurrection Day. Amen. So when anybody says Happy Easter to you, you can just say it's about Jesus and nobody else who conquered everything for us. Resurrection Day. And what does that mean to us today? Well, sometimes we can think, well, it means Jesus is alive. And he conquered the grave and he conquered death, and that is so true. But there's so much more to it for you and I, and this morning we're going to kind of review for some. For others it might be brand new. But we're going to look at the reasons for the resurrection. The very first one is it fulfilled Scripture. From 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 9, it says, I pass on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried and then raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. So it wasn't that he saw one over here and two over there. 500 of them were gathered together and 500 together saw him. So nobody could say, well, you know, these are this two colluding over here and a few. 500 together saw him. And at that time, Paul says, most of them are still alive, though some have died. I don't know if you remember about Ted when he was sharing about the fact that our scriptures were are confirmed, that the fact that there was this many eyewitnesses at the time that Paul is writing this. It's like, you don't believe me? Go talk to them. They were there. Most of them are still alive. Then he went Then he was seen by James and later all the apostles. Last of all, as though I've been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. So when we look at this scripture here, and what it tells us is that what Jesus did was spoken about in the Old Testament. They knew it was coming, and him rising from the dead, him dying on the cross, being buried, and rising from the dead, testifies, fulfills those scriptures. It proves that what Jesus said is true, and we can trust everything that he said. Second reason for the is it proves he was the Son of God. How many times did we hear in Scripture the Lord say, "This is my Son"? At his baptism, the voice from heaven spoke, and God said, "This is my Son, whom I love." I'm blanking for the moment, where he says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." When Peter, John, and James were at the transfiguration afterwards, the Lord said, "This is my Son, listen to him. Listen to his words." And when he rose from the grave, he proved he was the Son of God. The reason for the resurrection is a validation and a guarantee of our salvation. 1 Corinthians again 15. "And if Christ had not been raised by the if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of sins." You see, it's one thing for him to have gone to the cross and suffered all that he did. He paid the price. The wrath of God was poured out on him for us. But the validation of it came when he rose from the grave, that it was a finished work. Now I want to move on to the next part that says, "For it is for our justification," from Romans 4:25. "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life again for our justification." So again, he was delivered unto death for our sins, but our justification comes through his resurrection. Well, what does that word justification actually mean? Well, if you take a look, and I always go to the Strong's Concordance, it means justification is an act of God declaring men free from guilt and accepting him. To be righteous, justified. It comes from the word that means rendered righteous or such he ought to be. See, this is how we ought to be. We ought to be righteous. That is how we ought to be, and that is what Jesus did. It's to show and exhibit evidence that one is righteous. It is to declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or as he ought to be. So when we think about Jesus coming out of the grave, he died for our sins, but he came out of the grave. He came walking in new life for our justification, which means we're free from guilt, that we're free from shame, we're free from our past, we're free from sin, and we're accepted. We're accepted by him. We're accepted by the Father. I heard an illustration about this that I thought was brilliant, and I'm sharing it with you this morning in hopes that we'll get a picture of how significant Jesus' resurrection is to us. So let's say that you have made the big move to a new country, foreign country you've never lived in before. You're there, you're learning the language, you're learning the culture, you're becoming a part of it, and one day you break a major law of the land, and you didn't even know you did it. But you are going to be thrown in jail, so you go to the king of that country and you ask for mercy. You appeal to him, but he says this, a rule is a rule, and I cannot bend the rules for you. What would happen to my integrity if I did? However, if you can find a substitute to take your punishment, which is going to be 3 months in jail, I'll allow that. And by God's grace, you find somebody willing to do that for you. You find a substitute, a person who goes in on your behalf, and you don't even see them again for 3 months. 4 months, whatever. But here's the question. How will you know that your crime has finally been paid for? How are you going to know? The substitute went in, but until you know, you won't rest easily regarding your crimes. You won't feel the freedom, and you will still be in a personal bondage. And again, I've heard some people say, when will you know assuredly that your crime has been paid for? When you see him walking free. When you see him walking free, that sentence has been fully served. And you will know, now I am justified, and no one can come after me, bringing charges against me for my old crimes. And of course, we know our substitute was Jesus. He paid the debt we couldn't pay, and now is out, walking around. As it said in 1 Corinthians, at the first scripture we read, that there were witnesses to it. When we witness him walking free, we know it's been paid in full. He said it was finished, and we saw the deal sealed when he came out of the tomb that was no longer sealed. The deal is sealed for us. Again, paying a debt we could not pay. Justified because of the evidence of Jesus. Justified because of what he did for us. Ever find the enemy trying to hold you back by your past, by your sins, by your stuff? Resurrection day, Jesus walked out. The debt is paid. The deal is done. It is sealed by him stepping out of that tomb. Done. He paid the price. He made the sacrifice. And he came out. Up from the grave he arose. I don't know the rest of the words, but I know he rose. I don't know the rest of the words by heart. Justified. The Lamb of God sacrificed himself to set you free. And who the Son sets free is
free indeed.
He walked out of the grave. You are
free indeed.
Free indeed. Yes, walk in it. Yes, sister. Let's look at the next one here. He defeated death. One of the scariest things we as people can think of is that death sentence. But he has power over death, again from Romans 6:9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And if it no longer has mastery over him, it has no mastery over us as believers. For who is in us? Christ Jesus. And who are we in? In Christ. And he is mastered. He is the power over death and the grave. He holds the keys in his hands. How many can say hallelujah to that? You know, I think sometimes, you know, there are good days and bad days, right? On a good day, we can say, hallelujah. My King reigns. My King lives. My Messiah lives. And you know what you can say on your bad days? Hallelujah. My King lives. My God is risen. My Savior. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. Death is defeated. Come sit at my right hand, the Lord says to me, until I put all your enemies under your feet. And the last one is death. Defeated by the wonderful, powerful, amazing Jesus. Verse 6. The reason for resurrection is to give us a living hope. To give us a living hope. From 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let me read that one again. Let's let that one soak in. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, this just isn't a bunch of stuff that we do. It isn't ritualistic. It isn't religious. It is living. It is hopeful. What Jesus accomplished through the cross, his burial and his resurrection, brings us hope. Because he did not stay in that grave. How many of you remember years and years and many years ago, which sounds crazy to me, because some of you weren't even born when this happened, a song by a man called John Lennon, who used to be one of the famous, one of the famous Beatles. And he wrote this song, and thinking he was all profound and knowing things, I'm pretty sure. Imagine there's no heaven. And the words go, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try, or no hell below us, but above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living in peace. You. Some, and you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. It sounds really good, doesn't it? No peace and no war, no killing. No, but the problem is there's no hope. There's no hope beyond this life in that song. There's not only the enemy, but we could remove the enemy. I'm going to be honest. You can remove the enemy. Because the truth is, it's the sinful heart of man. He wants to say it's all about religion or politics or possessions or greed or hunger, but it's not. It's about the sin nature of man. And we know for the 4,000 plus years since the fall of the garden that nobody has been able to live a righteous, perfect life except one, as Jesus. So all of the good intention that is spoken of in this song was flawed. Because of the idea that man can do it on his own. And he says, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no eternal life. That means there's no hope beyond this life. This is it. That when you die, it's final, you're done, that's it. It is wrong. But I want to tell you, think about that notion that's out there. No heaven, no hell, none of that. And all the people who are living in persecution, they would have no hope. How about those that are living in slavery to prostitution or sex trafficking of any sort and all kinds of things like that? There are people who are stuck in addiction. And then there are people who are trapped in poverty and injustices. No hope. This is it. This is it. That's it. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. So if we stick to man-made ideals, we have no hope. But when we recognize the truth of a risen Savior, when we recognize what Jesus has done, there is hope. You can be in a prison cell, unjustly treated, but know that there is one who paid the price for that injustice. And whether you see the outside of the actual prison cell this side of earth or not, you know you have a living hope in him. And that's for anyone trapped in any sort of situation in their life. When we seek Jesus, when we trust in him, when we look to him instead of all the places we look elsewhere for that help, we will find at least peace within our hearts as we move through in the hope of what he has for us. Jesus Christ is our hope and glory. Our hope of glory. So he has given us this hope. Heaven is for real. This world needs a Savior, and yes, there is a heaven. And we who have believed on Jesus and received what he's done and understand this hope are being transformed into his likeness. And that's what will change the world. Not us trying, but what he's done in us. When our hard hearts, who are angry and frustrated and unforgiving, are touched by a Savior who loved and said, Father, forgive them. And the same love and forgiveness that is in the Savior transforms our heart. And we start seeing the world and we start seeing others with the same love that he sees. We have a living hope within us and a living hope for what's after this life. It's why we needed Jesus. It's why we need a Savior. It's why we need a risen King. It's why Jesus rose from the dead. So we stand in this hope, not only of heaven and all that's promised us there, but of what we have today. A living hope. And we have that resurrection life that Jesus has. We have the same resurrection life that Jesus has. And what does that mean to our faith? What does that mean to our life? What does that mean to us today? And again, I can have a really bad day, but I have a risen Savior. I'd have a really good day, and I'll rejoice that I have a risen Savior. Every day is resurrection day for us. I tell you what, if you can get out of bed and put your feet on the Lord, praise the Lord, I'm risen from my sleep. And I know you've heard the joke, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you should see when the church service is over. Anyway, that doesn't happen here, right? The last point this morning is the reason for the resurrection is to show us that we will be raised like him. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. So whether you live till he returns or you die and he comes, you're going to be living. It says, The body that is sown is perishable. This body is perishable. And it rises in imperishable. And it rises imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. How can I have a hallelujah? We're raised in glory. Sorry. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Amen. What we saw in Jesus is up for us as well. One day, we'll lay down this body for the imperishable, powerful, glorious body just like Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 21. Who, Jesus speaking, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, that's Jesus again, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious one. And again, he has said it, and his word is truth, and it cannot be broken. And he proved it the day he walked out of the grave. It was all, I can't say it was all words, it was words to them, to us before then. They didn't understand it. They heard it. They looked at it, you know. But it says they didn't understand it until he rose from the grave. Do you know how many times Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to be crucified? At least three. Three, I believe it is. Might even been a few more, but I'm going to say three. You can prove me wrong, and I'm good to get into the word, prove me wrong. But here's the thing. They still didn't understand it until it happened, even when it was going on. The chaos of that week. Can you imagine? Last week we were celebrating Palm Sunday, Hosanna in the highest. And within 5 days they're saying, crucify him. We're going from Jesus Messiah going to be our king to the disciples seeing one of them betray him, one of them deny him. What a chaotic week. This is not what we were expecting. And then he dies. He died. And they're sitting there. And they put his body in a grave, in a tomb. And they roll a stone on. And they go and hide themselves out of fear of what the soldiers might do, what the governors or the Pharisees are going to do to them. And 3 days later, he rises just like he said he would. And they still didn't get it until they saw him. Until they saw him. And the deal was sealed. And the truth of what he had said became a reality in their hearts. I'm not saying they walked it out perfectly, but they knew. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they waited in Jerusalem in that upper room. We don't have to wait anymore. And I'm getting ahead of myself because today is Resurrection Day. But he brought newness of life. He created something new. We are a new living creature who can receive Holy Spirit because we have been made righteous. The holy can live within something made holy, the holy temple, because of Jesus. Yes, this physical body is perishing, but the spirit is alive. That's right. I'm going to just put up my slide, but we're going to sing a song together. It's kind of our benediction this morning. Why don't you rise up? And we're going to sing together. And we're going to leave this morning celebrating, amen? We're going to go from this place rejoicing in the hope that is in us. And most of us know this song. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, again, we come before you. We say thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace, your mighty love. your mercy. Thank you for your Son and his sacrifice. Thank you that he has risen from the dead and we can celebrate and rejoice, for we have a new and living hope through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we go this week, Lord, help us go rejoicing and remembering. Every day for us is Resurrection Day because of what Jesus has done. We celebrate and we give you the glory, honor, and praise. May the world know and see your light through us. And we ask this now in our precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, and all the saints said,
Amen.
Go blessed. Have a wonderful Easter celebration, Easter dinner, resurrection dinner. Amen. At the beginning? Just a second.